This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A team of researchers at Ohio State University is trying to determine what anti-drug messages are most likely to cause potential drug abusers to say no to drugs. Kara Lofton reports the study relies on a combination of functional MRI scans and self-reported data.
28 participants watched 32 30-second PSAs while in an fMRI scanner. Half were at high risk of drug abuse and half were at low risk. Drug abuse risk was assessed with a self-report measure that participants had completed earlier. The researchers looked specifically at connectivity patterns between different parts of the brain while the anti-drug message is played. Later, the participants rated each PSA on how strong its arguments against drug abuse were. The study found that low-risk potential drug abusers were able to accurately tell researchers which messages their brains found most effective, while high-risk potential drug abusers were not. Researchers say the findings point to evidence that people at high risk for drug abuse are processing anti-drug messages differently than low-risk people. The study appears in the December 2017 issue of the journal Social, Cognitive, and Affective Neuroscience. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
West Virginia University officials say the job action by student workers at WWVU Radio has shut down the student-run station and could jeopardize its license if it continues. School officials say they reached out to the students and met with key members and that the complaints that led to the walkout are being investigated. In a statement Thursday, university spokesman John Bolt cited concerns regarding an issue related to the staffing at the station and encouraged students with relevant information to file a complaint online or contact the school's Title IX office. Details of the complaints were not disclosed. Title IX addresses discrimination, including harassment and assault. Bolt says WVU will not tolerate any form of discrimination, harassment, sexual misconduct, domestic misconduct, stalking, or retaliation. In honor of the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, which begins next Tuesday on December 12th, this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia explores stories of Jewish Appalachians. Rabbi Victor Yurecki has led the congregation at B'nai Jacob Synagogue in Charleston for almost 30 years. Roxy Todd recently sat down with Rabbi Yurecki and asked him to talk about how the ex-migration of people leaving Appalachia has affected the Jewish community in Charleston.
Some of the things that we are doing in order to survive and what makes our experience somewhat unique here in Charleston is we are a traditional congregation trying to maintain traditional Judaism in not just a modern world, but also a rapidly changing world. And so there's two forms of outreach that we do. One is the outreach with regards to interfaith, realizing that the message of Judaism is not just very narrowly understood as a message to be spoken to the people within our own faith, but how we interact with other members of other faiths who are interested in learning more about their faith through the understanding of Judaism. So as a result, our classes, our prayer services, which at one time were experiences only to be enjoyed by the Jewish faith, now we open our doors. Our congregations become almost daily experiences for any member of any congregation or no congregation to come in, experience the Jewish tradition either through Torah classes, studying the Hebrew Bible, the Talmud, which is our oral tradition, or even just coming on tours. I have two this week, which shows you that this constant flow of information for people to experience and be a part of our community in other ways other than just becoming members of our community.
What about the families that have left? Are they still connected to your synagogue?
That's the interesting thing. We have, in fact, we just had a bar mitzvah, actually have two children that have moved away, but the families still remain very, very close to their roots here in Charleston. And these are transplants. These are people that moved to West Virginia, but they found a home in a very small but very inviting Jewish community. They've left. They've gone to bigger states, but those states are not as inviting. And they have not forgotten what they experienced here in West Virginia, in Charleston, specifically in our congregation. And they've asked if they could come back and have their bar mitzvahs, their weddings here. And we of course, have a very, very open door about that. And it's created some creative opportunities for us. For example, for these children that were recently bar mitzvah this weekend, we learned our entire lesson through the computer or on the telephone. And then they came the week before their bar mitzvah. They came to the synagogue and practiced. And we're not talking about just a couple of prayers. They did the entire service, which was rather inspiring.
And even though so many people are passing on or leaving, there are a couple of people that have converted and joined the Jewish community. And one young woman in particular, she kind of reached out to us. And I know that she converted when she was in her 20s. So there are some people that are joining the Jewish faith?
We have a lot of people that join our faith. The challenge for us specifically, for me as a rabbi now that's served this congregation now for over 30 years, is we are a traditional congregation, which means a lot of our practices are done in the traditional rite, all in Hebrew. A lot of the experiences are things that I wouldn't say meant more to the older generation, but they could do it, where the younger generation, people that have converted, don't have that spiritual memory to be able to fully be a part of the religious experiences found in our synagogue. And that's our challenge today. Our challenge is people are coming to our congregation. They find the warmth of West Virginia. They find the beauty of tradition, but it's still not something that they can totally experience. And it's a challenge both for me, but it's also something that it's an opportunity. We have trying to figure out the expanding role for women. The synagogue is a very traditional congregation, so there is no active role for women in traditional Jewish life in the synagogue, at home, of course. So how do we meet those challenges? How do we meet the challenges of people that love coming to prayer services, but the Hebrew is proving to be a very daunting experience for them? Not that they can't learn the Hebrew, but they're pulled in all different directions, and to ask them to also learn a lot more Hebrew, where someone who's experienced it his entire life, that's a challenge, that's a hurdle for them to overcome. So how do we make those services more meaningful to them while still maintaining our traditions? And that's going to be the challenge going forward, because we do have a younger generation that's coming. They're engaged, but their ability to be engaged is limited. And that's going to be the challenge going forward. It's a challenge, but it's an opportunity.
As I was sitting in Rabbi Yarecki's office, I couldn't help but notice his collection of comic books and comic book figurines, and even yarmulkes for kids with comic book characters on them, like Spider-Man and Batman.
But it's a reminder that religious life is just part of being human, and it's part of life. And I think that going forward, we need to make our congregations far more open, far more generous of heart, far more, I guess, natural. That it's, you know, that you walk in, you're not nervous, but you're excited about coming in. Where kids can walk in and feel that it's their home. Where an older person can walk in and they still see the traditions, but they realize that if they've, quote, sinned in the past, they're not going to be accused, but they're going to be coming in and being welcomed with open arms. So anything congregations can do to make the place warm and inviting for young and old is, I think, a plus. So that's why you see some of the crazy things that you see in my office.
There are actually two synagogues in Charleston. The one Rabbi Yarecki leads is a conservative, traditional congregation, which means many of the services here are in Hebrew, and many of the older traditions are practiced here, like the early morning service the rabbi leads every day.
It looks like you stepped into a little shtiebel, a little backwood congregation in Eastern Europe, where it was all in Hebrew. Everything from taking out the ancient scroll, reading the portion of the week, to everything being conducted in the rites that's been done for hundreds and hundreds of years. That's one experience that we still maintain here at our congregation. But what you're also starting to see are things like Jews and Brews, where we have younger generation that are meeting at bars once a month, where we all just get together and we just converse. Sometimes it could be on something very philosophical and thoughtful, and sometimes it could just be on how West Virginia University and Marshall are doing. we're starting to see those type of experiences where in the past we wouldn't be able to do those type of things or didn't think that we needed to do those things. Again, some of the traditional people, they can't relate to the Jews and brews, but some of the people that relate to the Jews and brews can't relate to coming to the morning traditional services. So you're starting to see those type of things. We're having casual Shabbat dinners, both ourselves as well as Temple Israel, our sister congregation that's Reform, that we just invite people to come and eat with us. They can come and stay for the service if they like. If not, they just want to come and have a meal and celebrate the Jewish Sabbath. They can do that. We have Sunday morning breakfasts. We have Saturday evening where we have Havdalah, where we say farewell to the Sabbath, and then we all go out to eat. Again, those are experiences where they can take the entire piece and see both the tradition as well as the social, or they can just enjoy the social, or they can just enjoy the religious.
Again, that was Rabbi Yarecki, who leads the B'nai Jacob Synagogue in Charleston. He was speaking with Roxy Todd. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:55. Partly sunny skies today with highs in the 30s. A chance of light snow tonight with lows in the teens and 20s. Tomorrow, light snow with highs in the 30s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by Lumos Networks, providing next-generation communication solutions over an expanding fiber optics network. More information at lumosnetworks.com. Mississippi-born songwriter Paul Thorne has appeared on Mountain Stage 9 times since 1997. This time he brought extra reinforcements as he presented his Mission Temple Fireworks Revival, featuring renowned family gospel singers, the McCrae Sisters. For this week's Mountain Stage Song of the Week, they sing about a man of faith who sells cherry bombs for Jesus in a tent beside the road.
I saw a black man with a Bible and a sparkler in his hand. He was holding a tent revival and running a fireworks stand. He said, the end of the world is coming, so you better get on your knees. Today, buy the rockets, a 2-for-1, but salvation's free. He said, I quit my job at a big church where the milk and money flowed. To sell cherry bombs for Jesus in a tent beside the road. Ain't any for the money, most cars pass on by. But I paid rent on New Year's and the 4th of July. Here at the Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost.
Big Bang Theory,
Big Bang Theory.
Pentecostal,
Pentecostal.
Fire and brimstone,
Fire and brimstone.
Mission Temple Fireworks Stand. Say fireworks are dangerous, they can blow up in your face. So you better read the instructions, light the fuse and get away. These things are made in China, so it's easy to see how a man who worships Buddha ain't got no guarantee. This is the Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost.
Big Bang Theory,
Big Bang Theory.
Pentecostal,
Pentecostal.
Fire and brimstone,
Fire,
Mission Temple Fireworks Stand. Yeah.
Hear more Mountain Stage tonight and tomorrow night at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Dave Mistich, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Jesse Wright, and Roxy Todd. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.